Welcome to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Episode 469. Happy New Year, everyone, and we're back for another year, 2016. How you all doing? Hope you've had a great Christmas, a great break, and a good New Year. Went out, celebrated, and made all your resolutions, and hope you're all sticking to them. We're joined tonight by the two other greatest podcast hosts in the world.
I'll see you later then.
Will and Jace. We've got Eric and Shane. How you doing, guys?
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
How you doing, Shane? What's been going on? New year? Good New Year? Good Chrissy?
No different one. Still looking for work. I get to, I've had a few interviews and, I get to the point where, I get past the first interview and then I wait and see what happens and don't get it. I've got past the second interview this time with Crown to see how I go with them.
Yes, good.
And I should find out, hopefully, I'm not sure whether they said this week or next week. I just heard the word week in there somewhere. As soon as tomorrow, I'll find out whether I can get a job working for Crown.
Good. Beer's on you. All right. And Eric, how are you going? Good, Chrissy? New Year, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm going to say that because we are a Christian country. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Yeah, all very good, very busy. But
Happy Gregorian New Year.
I'm glad I'm looking at it in the rear vision mirror right now. That's all I can say. It's just too busy.
Yeah, well, what's going to be different this year then?
It's like this every year. It's flat out.
It's going to be busy. Yep.
Yeah. So, that 4 weeks leading up to Christmas is absolute mayhem, and I don't enjoy it. Mm. I enjoy the day when the day happens. I enjoy the day, and usually Boxing Day is pretty good too.
Yep.
But all that leading up to Christmas, it's just crazy.
It is. It's very crazy. Look, I was going to have this week off, but that didn't happen. You just get phone calls and...
Yeah, it just starts, I know.
Yeah, why not go out and earn some money, I suppose. What's been happening with the other two guys? Jace, he's been on holiday, so I haven't heard from him lately. So I guess I'm not sure if he's back home or whatever.
With his girlfriend?
Yes, been on holidays, I think. Yeah, sorry, Shane.
Didn't he just start a new job?
He did as well.
Yeah, holidays
so
quick.
So, yeah, I'll have to catch up with him this week, see what he's up to and get him back on the show. And Will, I did hear from through the week, and he had a wasp fly into his ear.
Oh, good God. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Did he have some honey in there?
He must have some wax. And so the wasp went in, wouldn't come out, and apparently had to go to the hospital and everything, get it plucked out. So that's no good. But, because I said to him, that's all right. You only need one ear, Will.
That's right. You only hear with one.
Yeah, and he goes, I've got a cold in the other one.
So. You know what my dad used to say to me? Because I used to talk a lot as a kid. Still do a little bit.
Mm.
And he said to me, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Listen twice. That's hard.
In other words, you're supposed to listen two-thirds at a time and talk one-third at a time. So shut up.
Oh, my dad bought out the old kids should be seen and not heard.
Oh, I used to get that too.
Yes. Something happened the other day and he goes, what happened to kids should be seen and not heard? And I went, in the 1950s?
I agree with that. There's certain kids that you think, if I hear you one more time, I swear to God, I'm getting the belt out.
Depends. Like, if you're at a function or people's places or something, because I suppose like you, Eric, I probably brought up, like kids, you don't go to the table and pick off the treats, the biscuits and the.
My kids have been taught that when you come to someone's house, you obviously you say hello. Good afternoon, good evening. You give your aunts a kiss. You greet them. You're polite to them.
Yeah.
You don't, always look them in the eye when you shake your hand or whatever.
Mm.
And you ask if you can have something. You just don't go, look at that food and push around away and just grab the first thing you see.
Yeah.
You will be offered.
Yes. Or you leave.
Food, or you ask. Yes. Is it okay if I have some of those chips? I say, yeah, no problem.
Now, do your kids, do they have to call grown-ups Mr. and Mrs. or
I insist on it, or auntie and uncle.
Yeah, okay. And what about, say, their parents' friends?
Well, and that's always start with, Mrs. Cooper or Mr. Cooper. If they insist on, their Christian names, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But even so, you should always consider still calling them Mr. and Mrs.
Yes.
Even if they insist on, call me Mary or whatever.
Yeah. Are you Mr. Franco?
I certainly am. I'm Sir.
Good boy.
I'm Sir Eric the Third.
Because I said to Kim, I said, oh, I wouldn't mind Mr. Goodman every now and then.
Mr. Goodman, are you free?
Are you free? Can we go for a swim? I don't know. That'd be good. What are you, Shane? Are you?
As long as it's not an insult, I don't care.
Mr. Johnston?
No, I'll never.
Just oi?
I'm a little bit like Eric in that, you know, it's up to the other person. Let them kind of make the judgment. And if they're okay with the first names, then, you know, run with it, kind of conservatively.
Exactly. I always say, look, it's up to them, but always consider doing the right thing and saying Mr. and Mrs. If they get really, you know, half cranky with you and say, look, stop calling me that.
Yeah.
Call me, you know, whatever instead, or else I'm going to, you know, I'll back down.
Yeah.
But until that day, you're completely respectful at all times.
Mm. Yeah.
It makes me laugh when you, it was only the other day that I heard it. I don't know if it was a YouTube thing or a TV thing, but some guy was interviewing someone who had a military background. Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was, I think it might have been Leo. He was interviewing one of the guys at NORAD about the Santa tracker.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he said, you know, stop calling me sir, but because obviously his military background, he kept calling him sir for the rest of
the year. No, that's normal in America. They're very quite respectful in America. Someone's from the military, it's sir, yes, sir.
Yeah,
no,
that's sir. Good.
You know, they hold up their military in very high esteem. Here,
yes.
it's the opposite. And we should hold them in the same esteem.
I'd like to see it, more highly regarded.
Yeah, yeah. So would I.
Yeah,
in the south of America, the Mississippi, you know, Texas, Arkansas, and all that sort of thing. Everyone's ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, you're serving in a restaurant, and some elderly people that come in and older than you, and you greet them as yes, sir and ma'am.
Mm.
Very respectful. Very old, traditional. Just good manners. Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe we should do this.
Can I get you a drink, Bob?
Yes. All right. Let's talk about someone else that's got no rights, and that's the Foxconn workers. But there's been heaps of stories around, you know, Foxconn workers. If you don't know, they make all the Apple iPhones and put together the iPads and all that sort of stuff. There's been stories here and there around the place, people jumping out of the buildings, you know, just to then kill themselves.
Yeah, a few years ago there was a bit of that going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, to the point where they had to put the, you know, like...
The suicide nets.
The nets around. People were jumping out because the families, if they died, the families would get the money, like crazy stuff. But anyway, I think, Shane, you might be able to chip in with a couple of things here because I saw you had this story as well. But Foxconn is getting some holidays. The workers are going to get some holidays. And that is brought about mainly because of
Yeah, it's not through the kindness of their wallets.
No.
It's because they're overstocked. They're overproduced the iPhones. And by sending the people away, obviously your production line slows down and you won't have an overstock of your inventory. So it makes it sound like they're doing the Good Samaritan thing, but they're doing it for their own benefit, really.
Yeah, that's right. So they're cutting the working hours over the week-long Lunar Year holiday. Reports of slowing shipments and mounting inventories for the 6S and the 6S Plus, as well as tepid forecasts from suppliers, have pushed Apple investors into unfamiliar territory. So look, that to happen sooner or later. You can only sell, you know...
We called it, Glenn. We did. And we called it 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it just can't keep rolling along, can it? Like, it just can't.
Well, especially not with the leadership they've got there. Because the leadership that took Steve Jobs' place, and don't forget, when he died, a few left.
Yes.
A few people left or were sacked because, you know, Cookie didn't like him, the Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
And
Cookie.
And there's no – I'm surprised Johnny Ives is still there, to tell you the truth. I'm surprised he hasn't been grabbed up by Tesla or Porsche or BMW or someone like that.
But do you think that would he would have, like, a massive amount of shares?
He still gets to keep them.
But he would want to see the company do well. You know,
yeah, but if he kept them, the amount of his shares he's got, he got at such a low cost because he's been there so long that even if the shares tanked to half what they're worth, he'd still be worth $500-600 million.
But I don't know. But I think Johnny Ives is as much as you'd have to say he's becoming as much as Apple as little Steve Jobs. He's got
he's more Apple than Cookie Monster. Yes. Anyone else there?
Yeah, I'd like to see Jobs here what's his name at the helm, rather than the cook stuff. Now, Shane, you had the same story. Did you have anything to add to Foxconn there?
Only, well, probably touching on the fact that it's not just Foxconn that are feeling the pressure. Apparently the second iPhone manufacturer, whose name escapes me, but they're also, and associated suppliers, it basically yeah. snowballing down the...
It's a, yeah, trickle-down effect. Trickle-down
but effect. Just the, while you're talking about Johnny Ives, I was thinking about this over the Christmas break, like I do, and comparing the... I know with Steve Jobs, he seemed to have more of a design background. He might not have been a design person like, say, Johnny Ives was, but I remember he might have been in the book where there was a section where he would take somebody, it might have even been Johnny Ives, for a walk around the area
yeah.
just to point out the fact that, like, all the signs had rounded corners and things like that. Mm. So Johnny Ives, my theory is that Johnny Ives at least had somebody to bounce other ideas off.
Yeah, I read that too. You're right. You're right.
Respected, yeah.
I think because they were kindred spirits, they were best mates, and they could completely honest with one another, and he could say, oh, what do you think about this, what do you think? And because Jobs had a very good design eye himself, they were speaking the same language. Cookie Monster, he comes from a logistics background, you know, a supply chain background, no creative at all.
Mm. Yeah, and what's engineering background, where it's all black and white and numbers and...
Is Tim Cook the Apple Steve Ballmer?
I reckon. That's a good analogy, and I think that is spot on.
Someone just needs to throw a flying penis at him.
That's right.
He probably no, he is.
He's Apple Steve Ballmer. Yeah. They're going to have 10 years of flat growth, of not moving, nothing happening. They'll still make money like Microsoft did.
Yeah.
You still come out with Office, you know, Microsoft came out with Office and all this sort of stuff, but there was nothing exciting.
No. I think the I haven't seen any stats on Apple TVs or anything, but look, they were too expensive.
Way too expensive.
Mm. Apple iPad Pro, ridiculously just put your head in the sand, don't worry about that thing coming out.
Yeah, forget that. And the thing that they were known for, Apple, before anybody else, was the touch scroll keypad with a pinch and zoom. You know, what I'm talking about. They're on their MacBook Pros.
That's great.
What do you call that? The mouse pad, I suppose.
Yeah, or a touchpad.
Touchpad?
Yeah.
They were known to have the best touchpads where you can pinch, zoom, double click, tap, do this, do that, right? All these little gestures depending on how many fingers you used. And Microsoft comes out with a Surface, which I've got here.
Yes.
That's got a keyboard with a touchpad, and the iPad Pro doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that invented it.
Well, you can buy it. Can't you buy a keyboard for the iPad Pro?
You can. A Logitech one has the touchpad, but the one Microsoft, Apple make doesn't have one. This is what I don't get. Pro. It's their invention. They're the ones that maybe it's not their invention, but they made it better than anyone else.
Look, it's. I think,
and they don't even. Then they make a product specifically for the iPad Pro, without the touchpad. That doesn't make any sense.
Do you think because that they think, okay, well, if you want a touchpad, go and buy the Magic Pad? Does that work with the iPad?
No, it doesn't. If it's Bluetooth, it probably will. But why would you do that? If you're going to have an iPad Pro, a keyboard, and a Magic Pad, you must get a laptop.
I think it's getting to the stage, and I think we did touch on this earlier, that they think that the world is so stupid that they're starting to fall.
They're getting arrogant.
Yeah, and they're starting to fall back inside their...
Yeah, they're becoming too internalised.
Yeah.
And they're becoming too complacent because of the arrogance.
Yes.
And Cookie Monster is the cause of it. He thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread, I think. I think that's what he thinks.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong there.
And don't be surprised. We haven't heard anything yet, and I'm calling it now. Don't be surprised if there's some ructions going on behind the scenes about the Cookie Monster that we won't see, and nothing will be done for about 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think he might have, say, another cycle in him, you know, to bring out something. They reckon that the iPhone 7s are going to have
iPhone 7 is going to be rubbish. It's going to have a bigger battery. So they're going to have a thing, a brick, this big.
Yeah.
They've gone from, let's have something super thin because we've got to beat Samsung, to, we need better battery life. So they're going to go from, you know, super thin to super thick. Mm. No one's going to buy it.
I'll do this story now, actually, because I think this is, you know, like, you've got to get into a space where you can invent stuff. And that's where the iPhone made its success. And that's what brought Apple back from the pit of disaster. But that John, let me find this this story. What was that? It's about that John McAfee. Now he's back. He's put on hold his presidential bid. He's taken time out. he's formerly the cybersecurity legend and former fugitive. John McAfee has launched a crowdfunding campaign to replace passwords. Now, let me if I can get a little video up here. Now, this is the sort of thing I think that Apple should just start be going into the let's try and do something else rather than, yeah, of course, continue to make everything better. But look, if I can just play this for you. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm John McAfee, founder of the McAfee Antivirus Company. Since leaving the company, I've become part of bigger and better things. This is my new product, EveryKey. This is my phone. I have to type a password into it 100 times a day. But with this, I never have to type another password again. And it's not just the key to my phone or my laptop. Motherfucking hell. This is not just the key to my online accounts, or the key to my car, or the key to my house. It's my EveryKey. I am the man who's obsessed with security. And so is EveryKey. Nothing is more secure. And if I lose it, I can remotely freeze it. Show me another key that can do that. So it's your choice. All of this, or just one EveryKey. Welcome to the revolution of access control.
Now I read this and I thought, oh, that sounds really good. You know, it's something else to replace passwords and everything. So it's a little device that, you know, you stick on the side of your computer. And then It logs you straight in, or if it's in the vicinity of your phone, it logs you straight in without typing your password. He's claimed that.
Is that like a you know, if you knew when you go to a building and you just put your little swipe thing right, it just opens it up for you?
It would be probably something similar, but a bit more involved.
Yeah, more involved. Yeah, but similar sort of vein.
Yeah, and he's saying that, you know, that it can be developed for cars. So if you've got it in your pocket, your car will just know it's you. You open the car, you don't have to get your key out.
Well, a lot of cars have that now. A lot of the European cars do have that, the keyless remote and keyless start.
Yeah.
As long as your key is in your pocket and you're within 1 meter of the car will unlock.
Yes. But he's taken it a step further where he wants to put all of that, like your front door, your car,
it does everything. One key does everything.
That's right. He said in normal John McAfee speak. He said that McAfee said the project was a effing game changer.
it may well be.
I'd get one,
and someone will buy it off him, and do something with it. But Apple's got to start looking at. Apple always got patents, applying for patents and blah blah blah. They've got thousands of them. A lot of us don't know what they are. Let's hope there's something there that they're working on that they're just keeping on the quiet.
Mm.
It hasn't been. You remember a few years ago, there was always lots of leaks about what Apple was doing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When's the last time there was a leak about a new product Apple was doing?
Yeah. Well.
Right.
Yeah.
There's two things that could be at play here. One, that the people that were leaking no longer work there and they've got locked the place tight, right? Or two, there's just nothing to report.
I think there's nothing to report. Look, they love the leaks. They love it.
Yeah, they do.
That's what they thrived on. Like, you know, they've probably gone, oh, the people that leak, we're going to find them and sack them. But they go, no, we won't.
Because you remember that a few years ago that the guy left his phone at the bar, test phone, right? Yeah. And they're all going, oh, God. They probably told him to leave it there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's great, the buzz. But anyway, just finishing off on the McAfee, John McAfee said every key would work not only on smartphone PCs but also on Bluetooth-enabled cars and doors that uses Bluetooth connect hardware to EveryKey and can enter passwords stored on servers. EveryKey will in-lock a device when it is near a device and lock again when out of range. The device stores passwords using military-grade encryption. If an ever key is lost, it can be deactivated so the hardware no longer recognises the dongle.
Here's a question. Just say you lose that, right, and someone walks past your car and unlocks it and gets in your car, drives off, okay?
Yep.
Now, depending on the car, if he doesn't have the actual key to your car, he might be able to get into your car, but if he doesn't have the key for the ignition, nothing's going to happen, right? Now, let's fast forward 10 years where, just say, Mercedes-Benz, integrates his technology with their current technology, which is the, as long as it's in your pocket, you just press the start button and you're off, right? There's no key needed. And just say you lose that key.
Yeah.
What would happen? So he's driving along, just say, and you go, oh, I lost my key. So you log in, say, mate, can I borrow your phone, or get on your phone and lock it. I'm assuming the engine will shut. It will just shut the engine down.
I don't think so, because that doesn't happen at the moment with those keyless things. Like, because you can, because I've had the, it's happened to me. I've, for some reason, I can't remember now what actually happened. But I think, but anyway, I dropped the wife off at the shops and I gave her the keys to the car because she was going to come back before me or whatever. So then I parked the car, and then because the car was still running, I switched off. And because I switched off, I couldn't switch it back on again.
Why?
Because I didn't have the key fob.
Oh,
I gave
right.
the keys to Kim. So in that case, so the car still runs until you turn it off, but you won't be able to start it again. So the EverKey, I think what he's saying is, you can freeze it and block it, and you just go purchase another one. And all.
But he would have, he'd have a GPS tracker on that anyway.
Oh,
so even if someone stole your car, you'd know who stole it.
Yeah, that's right. But the EverKey should be in your pocket anyway, or whatever. But it doesn't matter. Like, people probably, they find it, they steal it, whatever they do with it, they throw it away. But you can block it, so they'll be able to drive it and park it somewhere, but they won't be able to start it again.
Right.
So then I don't know, you got to wait till it gets found. But then you go get yourself another EverKey. You've probably got all the keys and stuff stored in the cloud somewhere. It just all downloads to this new key, and then you're back off and running again. Like, because. Yeah, because you freeze that one and get another one.
That might work. Yeah, that might work.
I think it's a good idea.
My question would be, what happens if it's not the key that you're changing or lose or whatever, but what happens if you change your car, or what happens if you get a new PC, or those sorts of things?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, there must be some way that...
There'll be some way to deactivate that key. Or if you've got if it's a car or you've got a key just for the car, then you say, "Oh, that's for the car. Take it."
Mm.
And I just get myself a new one.
But I don't look
for your laptops and whatnot, and you might just have to deactivate your laptop.
But there would be some hurdles, because I know, because I've lost my little key. Well, I haven't lost it. It doesn't work anymore. It broke, and to get another one, it's like $300.
Yeah, it's quite pricey.
Yeah,
that happened to me. Oh God, how long ago was this? This was about, it'd be 15 years ago now. I won't tell you what brand of car I had because you'll think I'm a wanker. But anyway, the car was under warranty, and the key wouldn't work. It wouldn't open the doors. It wouldn't do anything, right? I had to put it into the door and turn it like a pleb.
Yeah. That's so old school.
I know. And I drove down to the dealership and goes, oh, look, mate, I need a key replaced. Yeah, no problem. Come back in 3 days, we'll have it for you, or 7 days, I think it was, because I had to get it from a country in Europe. And got back, and he goes, yeah, mate, no worries, got your key here, let's just program it for you, so when you drive off, the doors lock, you know, they just did everything, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He goes, that'll be $700, please. And I said, mate, it's under warranty.
Yeah.
It was. The car wasn't even a year and a half old. He said, it's under warranty, dickwad. And he goes, oh, sorry about that, mate. Wow. I didn't realise. I said, well, check your records. You're just trying to rip me off.
Yeah. But look, I've just found a picture of your car, Eric.
I can't see that.
No. Pretty funny.
I can't see pictures. What is it?
It's a Reliant Robin.
Yeah, they're the worst. You know, the thing is, those cars would have worked if the single wheel was at the back and not the front, because that's what's made it unstable.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just crazy. Where's the one where it's in the ditch? There was one here. Oh, you'll have to watch the video.
The boys
and have
from
a look.
Top Gear love those cars. They don't love them. They just
pay out.
They pay out on them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was this car a sports car of any sort, Eric?
Could have been.
Oh, the Reliant Sports model.
The Reliant Sports car.
Are they normally red?
No, my one was not red.
Okay, but say, did someone like Magnum PI make them famous back in the day?
No, it wasn't that. I think those cars are for wankers. Wasn't that car?
All right. Well, let's move off.
I'm going to give you a little photo here. I'll tell. This is the car that I'm going to buy when I retire. This is going to be my little weekend car. I'll just put it into Skype chat.
Are you going to get a beret?
There it is. That's what I'm going to buy.
Oh, I don't know if I can get that out of the Skype and show everyone.
Go on.
No, I don't think I can because I'm going to lose the pictures.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, you can share a screen.
Yeah, but I lose the screen capture if I change the Skype.
Oh. Well, I'll share the screen.
I like the old school kind of white wool tires.
Yeah.
Share the screen, Eric. Show us what you got.
How do you share the screen?
Is there a little plus or something down there? Well, you work on that, and we'll come back to that. We'll come back to Eric's.
Here we go.
Eric's card. Here we go.
Oh, hang on. Where are we? Oh, I can't find it.
I think Shane will queue you up for a story.
All right. So something a little bit lighthearted. Netflix everywhere.
Oh.
Netflix is now streaming almost worldwide. Netflix plans for world streaming domination revealed during CES 2016 keynote. Netflix is working with LG to extend streaming service to the Middle East, Asia, and parts of Europe. LG is an ideal partner, according to the CEO, due to the WebOS 3.0 operating system that they use in their TVs and their devices, which puts streaming on par with other sources. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings tried to do a Steve Jobs one more thing, revealing that Netflix is now available in 130 countries and supports 20 languages. China should have service soon, according to the CEO, leaving just, strangely enough, North Korea, Syria and Crimea.
Why would you bother?
They just happen to be political and military hotspots at the moment.
Do they have electricity over there in these places? Like, it's crazy.
Well,
they're so backward, and that's their own doing. But, North Korea's getting a bit crazy, isn't it? Of late. But anyway, that's what happens. But we did see...
Can you see that?
I did flash to it. Hang on. Let's have a look. Oh, there we go. That looks all right. It's a little Get Smart car.
not quite. A little bit better. A little bit better, my friend.
That looks all right. I could just see you. You could just grow your hair at the back, like a bit of a mullet, put the tweed beret on, and away you go. Hey,
this is the dream car, which is ridiculous. I'll share this one. The dream car is this.
I see what's a Top Gear? They're up for look at that thing.
That's the dream car.
Yeah, what's that?
That's a Mercedes-Benz SLS 63 AMG.
Oh, what would that set you back?
$400,000.
That'd be worth it though. You'd sell a house just to get a car. You'd
live sell in your car. Wife.
Wouldn't get that much.
That's so funny.
Still need a loan.
can I trade her in?
Yeah. Oh, it's all right. Kim doesn't listen to the podcast and she's out. So
they're not bad. I saw one in Melbourne and it's going for $40,000.
What, one of those things?
No, the first one I showed you.
Oh, yeah, right. That's all right. That's all right. That's good. That's great. All right, yeah, so Netflix everywhere. Well, that's all right, but I don't know. Well, good on it for being everywhere. It's in Australia too, but it hasn't got a lot of content on it. So, you probably go over to these North Korea.
To be honest, someone told me that they've been on the British one and the US one, and even though it's got more content than Australia, it's still, when you look at it in an overall sense, you think, well, still not that much. What they do have in the States that we don't have here is they have a lot of the updated TV series that we don't get.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, it's just...
But give it time. Don't forget, Netflix have been in America for a very long time. They just started here. They've been here just over a year or just under a year.
Give
it time.
Mm. Now, I went and saw Star Wars on the over the...
Project. No spoiler words. I'm seeing it on Saturday. Please. Oh.
Haven't you seen it yet?
No.
Can I tell you that I think it's probably...
Do not tell me anything.
No. I just got to give you my opinion that I think it's the best Star Wars and it could stand alone outside of that, the sextilogy or whatever it was, whatever you want to call it. So it's just great. I loved it. I would watch it again, but I'd wait till it goes on video. I just don't want to spend another $25.
I don't think Regan's seen it, and if he wanted to sort of see it, I'd see it again.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'd probably be the same if the kids wanted to see it, but I know they won't.
That's a nice car.
But it's, very good, Eric. You'll have a good time. It's a great movie.
I go see it on Saturday. I've been getting harassed to see it, so.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And I'd urge anyone who hasn't seen it to, go and check it out. It's great. It brings back the Star Wars spirit, if you know what that is. The Force. Now, let me have a look. What's my next story? We better get a wriggle on here. I think you've got that one too, so I missed that one, the one about IE, Shane, but I'll move on to Kim Kardashian's Kimoji app.
Oh, no one cares.
Breaks the Apple Store.
Oh, God.
I know, can you believe it? But I just thought, the stats of this thing that that came out with this story.
How stupid are people, though?
It's $1.99, can you believe? And there was a point, at one point over the break when this app was launched, that there were, now get this into your little brains, that there were 9,000 downloads, right? So at $2 a pop, 9,000 downloads. So what's that, Eric? $18,000?
Yeah.
Per millisecond.
Who's getting all the money?
Well, Apple gets 30%. And she probably gets the rest, doesn't she?
Oh, surely she's not getting $1 billion out of her fat ass.
She might be. Well, that's what she's known for. That's what it's all about.
The developer, surely.
No, she's involved. She's running this because she was tweeting during the, you know, as she's going, those trying to get the app on their iPhones had some trouble after the store crashed, and she's tweeting, "I'm sorry, I crashed the store," and all this.
She was the customer service rep, was she?
Yes. So,
I bet you people will be asking for refunds.
Oh, that's $2. That's just all the little kiddies. They just don't care, do they?
They just
download this stuff, think that she's some sort of superwoman with her Northwest.
She's nothing. She's got no talent. She's done nothing ever.
No, and her dad should be in jail, just quietly.
Which one?
Not Woman of the Year, or whatever he was, or whatever it is.
Just a publicity stunt.
It's Woman of the Year.
Unless he gets his old fella chopped off, then he's just publicity stunt.
Hmm. He's blowing smoke.
Yeah.
All right. Shane, what's happening down there? Can you do a story?
I'll try and get us out of trouble. I'll do the Internet Explorer one. That looks safe. Internet Explorer 8, 9 and 10 finally die next week. As of January the 12th, Microsoft will no longer support Internet Explorer 8, 9 or 10. Microsoft stated that version 11 will continue to be supported, receiving security updates, compatibility fixes and technical support on Windows 7, Windows 8.1, no mention of Windows 8, which is weird, and Windows 10 for now. But if you use an older version of IE, then it will no longer receive updates. And if you insist on using a Microsoft browser, now might be the time to consider using Edge. Now, more often than not, I have a problem with Edge.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Thing that actually works on Edge that doesn't work on Chrome is the back end of my website for some reason. There's more, the functionality, the back end functionality, it just works better under Edge than on Chrome. Some of the stuff just doesn't work on Chrome.
I've loaded up Edge a couple of times, it's come up, and I can't do a few things on it. So I've just had to, because I don't know why they've hidden it in Windows 10, Internet Explorer. They've hidden Internet Explorer in Windows 10. You've got to go search for it and put it on the taskbar, which is a bit silly. Because I think that's bad, because with the browser wars that are going on, why hide it? Just force people to go to Edge and go, I hate this, and download Chrome or Firefox. I think that's a bad move. That's another bad move. I should be one of these marketing people. You know, that's another bad move. All right, now, you probably think that Eric hasn't got any comments. He's gone quiet. He hasn't fallen off the chair, but he has dropped out. So I'm going to try and get him back. Sorry for that little interruption there, tech heads, but we got Eric back. And now we were talking, Eric, just to bring you up to speed while you dropped out, we were talking about the
Internet Explorer, I believe.
That's right, the death of Internet Explorer. And on versions 8, 9 and 10, version 11 is now the only one available. And you can still get it on Windows 10. And I said that I think it was silly because it wasn't a default option on Windows 10. You'd go looking for it, which would mean people go, where's Internet Explorer? They go to Edge and download Chrome. And
Edge is rubbish.
It is. It is rubbish.
It's absolute rubbish. I don't touch it.
I'd rather
use Explorer 10 than I would an Edge.
Yeah, or 11.
Or 11, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so do I. That's right. But I'll use it if I need another browser. Sometimes I need another browser, like to log into the same, or say into Gmail with a different account. I use a different browser for that, so I know what's going on there. All right, so that's Internet Explorer's there going in the dust. Now, what do you make of all this Dick Smith business?
They're broke, and that's that. They were overpriced on their float. They were never going to justify those sort of valuations, and they got caught out.
I think the place is going to get fired. Yeah, look, it's the old story, and I think we've approached this on a podcast before. And I think I've said to you guys that I think the gift cards are a waste of money. They're a rip-off. And especially when it comes to situations like this, where you become an unsecured creditor,
you're basically not going to get your money back. I only buy gift cards from extremely reputable people. You know, David Jones, Meyer. Meyer's sort of only semi reputable these days, but David Jones, Meyer, Apple. JB Hi-Fi is not too bad, but I've never bought a gift card one for Dick Smith.
No, but I wouldn't have had an issue with it, to be honest. It would go against the grain of just, you know, buying gift cards in general, which I just don't like. Not just because, you know, you think the place is going to go belly up, but because they expire. I can't believe that a gift card can expire. It's cash.
They do expire every 4 months. Yeah.
But I don't understand what. Why?
They shouldn't expire because if you had a $50 note in your pocket or in your wallet for 2 years, you can't. You don't go to the shop and go, "Sorry, mate, you've had it in your wallet for too long."
That's right. Can't use that.
Yeah.
That serial number's too old. I'm sorry. It's rubbish. That's
just a con because they know people forget, and it's basically free money.
Yeah, and there's a couple of sites on the internet that you come around, like you download, you know, bits of software or images or whatever, and you buy the credits. And then it only lasts 12 months. So 12 months, you haven't used all your credits, you lose them. I think that's so wrong. So stupid. It is so wrong. Like, you might say to me that, what about, you know, the prices of the images or whatever, they might go up. So therefore, you know, well, it doesn't matter, does it? Because if the images prices go up, well, your gift or your credits buy less. So it doesn't matter. Exactly. I think it's a rort. I hate it. I don't know why it's allowed. I really don't. I think it's just a rot. But anyway, Dick Smith has put a call out for buyers while confirming existing gift vouchers would not be honoured and lay-by deposits would not be refunded.
That's done.
That's another rot, isn't it? Lay-by deposits. Terrible.
Oh, people still do lay-bys now? Surely not.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't come across any store in the last, it'd have to be 15 years that it's done lay-by. Maybe 10.
Oh, no, I think you still get your targets, still do lay-by. Yeah.
Maria's got a couple of mattresses on lay-by at the moment that she's paying off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's not at Dick Smith.
No. So Dick Smith went into, if you don't know what's going on, they went into voluntary administration recently after failing to secure sufficient short-term funding. The chain chopped a $60 million write-down on inventory in December and ran a clearance sale. But it still failed.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what they were trying to do. They were in trouble and they decided to take 60% off everything. Is that just trying to get some short-term cash, you know, up to sort of like make cut your nose off to spite your face sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously there to make it look better.
They needed to generate cash and they're going to worry about the debt later.
Mm. And I think, Shane, did you have a question about that, this story?
Yeah, I do. The story's been reported, obviously, everywhere, and I've seen it reported in different ways. And I know the terminology that they use is not good, no matter what word that they use. But technically, is receivership and administration and liquidation all the same thing?
No, they're not.
Okay.
I've been through one of these. An administration, when you call someone in, I'm just like this. Just going. This is very hazy sort of thing. You call someone in, and they appoint who they think should run the company. They take over the bank accounts and whatnot, make sure nothing's being spent that shouldn't be being spent, and they try and find a buyer. So the administrator generally tries to sell you as a going concern, right? It's something that can still survive. A receivership is the next one after that, when they realise that that's going to be a bit tougher. So they, that's a bit vague on my understanding of receivership. Liquidation is pretty, very simple. They shut the place down and they sell whatever they can for the most money they can, and then
give it to the
and whatever's left, they divvy it up to the secured creditors. That's liquidation, right?
Yeah.
Receivership is somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're continuing to trade, but it's like the owners there. Yeah,
look, well, either way, once you hit administration, there's a damn good chance you're going to be liquidated, full stop.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, no, people apparently have been getting on Dick Smith's Facebook page and giving him a going. But he hasn't owned the store since 1982, so please don't do that.
Yeah, don't think he's got anything to do with it.
Yeah, he hasn't. Okay, where else are we going?
Can you, just before we move on, can you, in theory, go to a Dick Smith's? They might be selling your laptop for $500, and can you go to them? Well, given your situation, you really need to just get all the money you can get. I'll give you $50 for it.
No, won't. That they can, when they're in receivership or liquidation, that's probably what you can do.
Yes, okay. But look, I tell you, it doesn't surprise me. You know, I think I've told you this story before, that you try to ring Dick Smith, the one at Robina, they answer the phone, hang straight up. And you do this continually for a week. I did it.
Well, it's no wonder. If you wanted to buy something.
Yeah, that's why they don't do it. They don't sell. Okay, Apple OS X named most vulnerable software of 2015. Can you believe it? There's a Common Vulnerabilities and Exposure Details, or CVE, conducted a study and produced a list of the most vulnerable software of 2015.
What a surprise! I don't know what you're going to say next.
Yeah, the list is based on reports submitted by cybersecurity firms, researchers and software creators. Apple's platform, yeah, as we all know, has always prided itself in being, you know, beyond reproach.
Yeah, but again, I think they've been getting lazy.
Yes,
I think they've been getting cocky.
Yes.
That's just the problem. And I hate saying these things about Apple because I love their products. I would never buy another laptop that wasn't a MacBook Pro. But I tell you what, they are getting lazy. How can you go from impenetrable software to the most infected or the most vulnerable? I mean, how does that happen in a space of 4 years since Steve Jobs died?
Well, I think it could be attributed to, you know, because it's more popular, there's more focus on the...
You've got to make allowances for that, I understand. But to go from no vulnerabilities to the most in 4 years, I can understand from no vulnerabilities or very few to a few more over 4 years or a lot greater because of the popularity, more people are buying it and therefore more people are attracted to attacking it. But to go from zero to the most in a very short period of time, that's Microsoft's-esque type rubbish.
Yeah, and like when you look at actually the first two, the top one and two, you got Mac OS at number one and iPhone OS at number two. So that's you know, that beats Flash.
That beats Android. And yeah. I didn't think I thought Android was streaks ahead.
It beats Internet Explorer. Like... Like they gotta sort this out.
I might as well just give the guy the key to my house.
I know. He might need one of those Everlocks, Everkeys, whatever it is.
But I might give to him. Don't worry, mate. I've been living here for weeks.
But that's just crazy stuff. Like
that's bizarre.
You know, all these things. You just see that things are just not going Apple's way, are they? The report also shows that Apple is the company in whose products the highest number of bugs, 654, were discovered in 2015. IBM, the leader of this not-so-lucrative race in 2014, has improved markedly as it fell down to seventh place. So Apple's gone up to number one in the highest number of bugs discovered as well.
I don't understand.
Yeah. So, and like they're number one and two. Like just to finish up on this, not to harp on it, but like so, Mac OS X and iPhone OS. Yeah, Mac OS X number of vulnerabilities 384, iPhone OS 375. You go, okay, Flash number 314. So although that number's high, it's 314. It's still 60 less than iPhone OS.
That's rubbish, isn't it?
80 less than Mac OS X.
That's rubbish.
And but is it because they're? Would it be? Would you attribute it to they're just pushing these OSs out? You know,
without too much. Yearly? Well, remember in the last 4 years, they've pushed one out a year, pretty
That's
much.
That's right. That's exactly.
Since Jobsy died, and it probably hasn't been given the quality control that it should have been given. Hmm. Now, when Jobsy was around, they pushed them out a lot slower. But what they tended to do, from memory, is they'd improve the existing one piece by piece so that by the time it was time to upgrade to the next one, there was very little difference. It was, you know, you pretty much already had it, and the new one just sort of capped it all off a bit. But now they've sort of gone from, you know, oh, here's this one, and then you go another one, and it's a completely different look. There's no progressive...
Yes, build.
Like, build?
Yeah. How did Jobsy go, do you reckon, like... Did he pay much attention to the worth of the Apple stocks? Was he frightened by Apple stocks?
No, this is why they did so well. His attitude was: if you love what you do and you do it well, the money is just a byproduct.
Mm. But I think that at the moment you sort of get the feeling.
If
you start
their focus, well, don't forget where Cookie Monster's from. His background is based on efficiency, which equals money. So his focus has always been money. And as a result, the products are taking a back seat.
Mm.
Right? As soon as you start, like any job, you start focusing on money rather than do you enjoy your job, you're going to fail at it and you're going to get fired and you're going to hate it and you'll be stuck there and you don't know what to do.
But can't he say...
Like as much as you can, it's not easy, but as much as you can, you've got to love what you do. The money will come.
Mm. Yeah, so that's probably the difference there. So, yeah, because you think, well...
The mentality is different. He's coming from a different school. He's the Ballmer. Ballmer was a sales guy, right? All he thought about was money, 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 bottom line, top line, all this sort of stuff. And what happened to their product development in the 10 years he was at the helm? Absolutely nothing.
Mm. Exactly. All right, Shane, you got any more stories over there?
Yeah, I got a couple more. I will follow on with this ransomware one because that kind of follows on nicely from what we were just talking about. Ransom 32 is a JavaScript-based ransomware that uses Node.js to affect users. So Node.js is a JavaScript kind of framework. So it's like, you know, .NET, it's like PHP, they've got their own frameworks. It's the language of JavaScript built in a... Yeah, framework. So a new type of ransomware has now been found, the first of its kind, a ransomware that uses JavaScript to infect the users being coded on top of NWJS platform. NWJS, formerly known as Node WebKit, is a powerful platform that allows developers to create desktop applications via Node.js modules. The platform lets programmers use JavaScript in the same way and with the same power and reach inside the OS as other more powerful languages like C++, Delphi, Java, ActionScript, and C#. NWJS uses a stripped-down version of WebKit, the same layout engine used in Chrome, Safari, and Opera, but without many of its limitations. While browsers limit what JavaScript code can do, NWJS removes these limitations or limits and allows JavaScript developers to interact with the OS itself. NWJS can run on all three major operating systems, so this might have contributed to the to the story we were just talking about, meaning that ransomware coded to work on top of it would theoretically be able to target all operating systems at the one time. According to Emisoft's Fabian Wasser, I think it's pronounced, a new ransomware family that goes under the name of Ransom 32 is using the NWJS platform for infiltrating the victim's computers and then locking their files. as Mr. Wasser told told Softpedia, Ransom 32 is currently distributed only via spam email campaigns using Node.js to infect encrypted user files. So it's similar to that blocker. What's it called?
Blocker Roach.
Yeah, the one where is it
Crypto Locker?
Crypto Locker. That's the one. So it's similar to that. As Mr. Wasser told, I've just read that, using Node.js to infect the encrypted user's files, Ransom 32 is not the work of amateurs given the level of sophistication and the new approach. Ransom 32 includes top-shelf quality encryption, same as that BitLocker, CryptoLocker. Ransom 32 authors operate as ransomware as a service from the dark web. I've only ever heard of the dark web or the term dark web since that TV show's been on CSI Cyber or whatever it's called.
Yeah, right. Oh, look, I suppose
I don't like that show. It's all a bit too far-fetched.
I've seen the first episode. I didn't mind it, but I've got better things to do.
Yeah, anyway, just to finish this off.
Yeah.
All payments are sent to the Bitcoin address of Ransom 32's authors, from where they take 25% cut and then forward the rest of the money to the intermediaries that help distribute the ransomware. So it's almost like a pyramid selling scheme kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Currently it only works on Windows machines. Well, Windows machines have only been picked up as being infected, but we're only probably an update cycle away from seeing the first cross-OS ransomware for family.
Yeah, this ransomware is rubbish, isn't it? It's just crazy, crazy stuff. But, I don't know, it's out there, and it's just going to keep... you just got to be mindful of what you're doing. Well, I was going through Facebook earlier today, and there was a sponsored article. You know, you get the sponsored posts, and it was Apple Australians unhappy because Apple are selling iPhone 6Ss for a dollar. And you think...
what's the starting of what?
Yeah, so there's this post where how to get like Australians unhappy, Apple selling iPhone 6S for a dollar, had a picture of the iPhone, you know, opened up, and press click here to see how it's done or something. And you just look at it, it's a sponsored
you think,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I clicked on it. And I read it was a web page, I went to a web page, like an article, like a news article thing, and I went, right, and then I started looking at the links that was in there, and it was just all dodge.
You can tell just by reading the links.
Yeah.
Or if you get an email, look at where the email, it always says, oh, from the Australian Tax Office, but you look at the email behind it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Panjeep Patel at Hotmail.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's move on to another one. Oh, Twitter's considering extending their tweets from 140 characters to 10,000?
No, thanks. No. I don't want to read someone's essay.
No, that's right.
You don't want to get Bill Shorten on there writing 10,000 times, bring it on.
You got, just to give you, it's like Bart on the blackboard, bring it on, bring it on.
Yeah, write 10,000 times, I'm an idiot, bring it on, bring it on.
Just to give you an idea of how long a 10,000 character limit is, now this is probably not too, I don't know, you won't probably get this too much, but anyway, the Gettysburg Address was 272 words, and you would think that it's probably pretty big. And John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech was 1,366 words. So you think a speech that, you know, go on long enough, so you get an idea that it's a lot of characters. I don't think it should happen. I think it should just keep it 140. I think people are more creative at 140.
And that's right, and I don't have to listen to their dribble.
That's right. And look, I'm not a big Twitter user, but, you know, it's there. I'll get on there sometimes and have a look and see what's going on. But Twitter's doing this to boost growth and ad revenue. The share prices, you know, it's becoming stagnant, and they've obviously said, well, okay, it's because of the limit of characters. You know, we've just seen Instagram; they've just gone past 400 million, and I think Twitter's on 300 million users. So they're thinking, well, what's the problem? Is it the character limit? So, but to go from 140 to 10,000, like, it's a bit of a jump. They even said in this article here that people were, to get around the 140 character limit, people were taking photos of text
and sending it.
Like,
that people can zoom it, yeah.
How ridiculous. I wouldn't have the time.
You know the funny thing is, if you wanted someone to see what you'd written and it's on a page you have to photograph and tweet, Send it to them in an email, moron.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy crap.
You heard of this new technology called emails? Yeah, send it in an email. You are. You're right. You're right. Yeah, so...
Unless you, some of these people, you know, some people that just want everybody in the world to hear what they have to say. You know, they're these social media junkies who think they're really cool,
yeah,
sitting in their mother's basement. Just... And they need to bloody, you know, oh, listen to me, you know, well, get a blog.
Mm. Yeah. And, yeah, that's right. And look, when I read that the Twitter, it's got, they've got 300 million users, can you believe, okay, and they're crying about that, like 300 million users, not a great user base when you look at worldwide, okay?
No.
It's not a great user base. But can you believe that, say, public policy in Australia is pretty much made on the basis of what Twitter thinks.
On social media.
Yes.
And if someone gets crucified on social media, then it must be true.
That's right.
Therefore, they might. If I call for someone to be sacked because I said they did this, and then people jump on it and go, oh, yeah, I agree with him, then, well, if everyone's agreeing it must be true, then he must be fired.
But everyone on the Twitter is
there's
agreeing.
No proof. You're guilty until proven innocent on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. But I can't believe it. It's got a small user base, pretty much. And, yeah, what's going on?
They're just rabid dogs. You know, the most active people on Twitter are the people who vote for the other side, the dark side. And because they're the ones sitting at home with no jobs sponging off the welfare.
Yes, so you're talking about the left.
Yep.
All right, now Windows 10 is already on 200 million devices.
That's not surprising.
It's the fastest adoption of any Microsoft operating system.
Because it was forced down people's throats.
Well, you had no choice. You got a free upgrade. Why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually forced. You didn't have to take it. Much of the growth comes from retail customers with devices such as the Xbox. And
actually, I've got an Xbox One. Is there an update on that? Do I have to update and it looks like Windows 10? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't updated it.
Oh, get into it. Let us know what happens.
Come out in November.
Yeah.
I did it. Yeah. So I've just got to go to my settings and just press update. It doesn't do it automatically.
No, you got to, kick it off.
Got to kick it off. Okay, I might give that a shot.
Xbox said that Microsoft, or their busiest day ever, was December 28. And the ultimate success of Windows 10 will be judged by the take-up rate among businesses. About three-quarters of Microsoft's enterprise customers are testing Windows 10. But they'll get there. It's the way. It's,
you know, Windows 10's pretty good.
Yeah. Look, what I can see and what I believe is happening with 10 is that this is it. This is the last one. This is where it stops. And then it's just going to be incremental patches and whatever. It's always going to be Windows 10. That's how I'm reading it. Is that how you get it?
So they're going to do the Apple thing where
OS X 10.1 or 10.5, and they might just start naming it, you know, Windows 10, you know, New Delhi.
Yeah, Bali Belly or something like that. Yeah. All right. Have you got any more, Shane?
Yeah, I got two more.
Cool. Hit us.
I will do a short one first and then we'll finish on something a little bit more homegrown. But my final CES-flavoured kind of story.
That's right.
CES, that's Ford on. To include Apple CarPlay and Android Auto support. Apple and Android car entertainment technology will become almost universal inside Ford vehicles, according to one of the first major announcements at CES this year. Starting this year, owners of Sync 3-equipped Ford vehicles can activate Apple CarPlay and Android Auto interfaces built into those types of smartphones. Significantly, the technology will be universal on all Sync-equipped Ford vehicles from 2017 onwards in North America, but with the features expanding worldwide by 2020, Ford's app offerings will also include Concur, which will automatically log business journeys directly from the odometer and maintain a trip journal for you.
Well, there you go. That's all right. If iOS is still around in 5 years?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
It should. I like iPhones. Like, to be honest, I do like the iPhone. I like it better than any others. I've got nothing against it. But I don't see any glitches. Oh, look, it might be slow here and there. There are a couple of things I wish they'd fix up. But overall, I'm quite happy with it. So you know, those 374 problems I don't think I've really seen. And what's your last story, please, Shane?
NBN responds to claims that fibre to the premises is better value than fibre to the node. Research has revealed that longer-term costs and savings of fibre to the premises when compared to fibre to the node, but NBN says a fast rollout is priority and more important. Fibre to the premise would
Well, that's all well and good, but it's been extremely slow, so you might as well just give us fibre to the premises.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rollout, yeah.
If they said, oh, look, we'll give you node and you'll have it a lot faster, and then suddenly, bang, I've got it, okay, I believe you. But hello?
You can't. I know you guys can't see this picture, but Shane's picture. Oh, yeah, you can in the show notes, Eric. But Shane's picture of this story, doesn't it just look like a bunch of ice creams? In the Shane story. Just look like a bunch of ice creams on cones. Anyway, keep going. Sorry, that was just...
Yeah, green cones.
That was stupid.
In response to a representative from NBN told Gizmodo, the figures used as the basis of the analysis are from draft documents from early 2015, not endorsed by our executive, but not endorsed doesn't necessarily mean they're not accurate. That was my kind of bit in the end. Yeah, that's the word. The longer fibre to the node remains in place, the greater the foregone benefit for what switching to fibre to the premise, he wrote. Despite costing $2,300 more per premise to install fibre to the than fibre to the node, the analysis showed fibre to the premise cost $220 less per connection per year, and the install cost would be earned back within 76 months. Fibre to the premise also generated almost $10 more revenue each month than fibre to the node. This is a total net benefit of $360 per household per year for ongoing fibre to the premise over fibre to the node, writes the researcher. He takes the analysis further into the future and reveals that the figure could be amount to $9 billion over 10 years. The NBN rep then stated, a full fibre to the premise rollout will take significantly longer to complete than the multi-technology approach. This means that delayed revenue opportunity and an inability to take advantage of the ubiquitous network in the next 4 years.
I half agree with some of that.
They're not interested in revenue, obviously. So they're putting that out in the back of Whoop Whoop. So they're not interested.
Exactly. But if they were interested in revenue, they'd put it in mass market. Look, okay, there's two sides to this. The people in the country have always been ripped off with respect to the internet. They're always the forgotten ones, right?
True.
I understand that. Get it out to the guys at Burke and Armidale and Esperance in the WA and Northwest Queensland. That's fine, no problem with that. However, their next step should be the highly populated areas where there is money to burn. People are just dying for internet connections, and they'll pay for it. There's no point putting it out in the country and then going, right, now we're going to put it out to Bogan City, wherever. I'm not going to name suburbs. I got in trouble last time. Whereas people are all unemployed, and they've got no. Even if they wanted the internet, they've got no way of affording it. Why are you putting it there? Right, yes. Put it where Glenn is. You know, that's where Glenn lives, and I'm not going to name his suburb. Is a tech hub of southeast Queensland, and there's no NBN there. All the universities are there where Glenn is, and there's no tech hub there.
No.
Because of the right, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where I am here, I'm about 20 minutes from Macquarie University. Nothing.
Yeah, I think maybe it should be. I know the country's got to get it. I know they've been stuck. Most places on dial up for years.
Give it to them first, no problem. But once they've got it, we should be next.
But maybe
and the people
even,
who can't afford it, they can be last.
But maybe even a 50-50. We'll do a.
It's too political. That's the problem. It got politicised when the last mob were in, when they decided that they're going to start installing it in their electorate, in all the places that the people voted for them. But we all know that people vote for them and got no money, right? And they're stupid. They wouldn't know how to turn on a computer. So,
you're young. Right?
And so then Abbott Gubbett got it, and they thought, oh, well, if we start putting it into our electorate, we're going to be accused of the same thing. So let's sort of, let's keep it going to the Bogan suburbs because we don't want to be accused of anything. And they're too gutless.
You're generalising your
Bogan. I didn't name any suburbs.
But you're generalising now.
Well, mate, but anyway, you know what? I say what other people are thinking.
But anyway, look, every time we mention the NBN, I always get
riled up.
Yeah, and I always go and check when it's coming to my address. And I always get the
and it's nothing.
I always get ba-pow. But I went to the webpage, and probably once again you can't see this, but I've got to fix this so you can see when I show a picture. But go to nbnco.com.au.
All right,
and your favourite slogan is right on the front page.
I don't know if it's Murphy's Law or someone's really listening to our conversation, but as soon as we started talking about the NBN, both your connections just deteriorated to.
They are the.
Yeah. They're not bad now.
Where's. What logo? What?
The slogan right at the top.
Left hand.
Oh, right in the middle.
Are you bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. You got his macho, isn't he? Like, bring it on, Mal.
Yeah. Bring it on.
As you're running away.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's the end of Shane's stories, I think. Yes. And I think I might have one more, and it is to do with the Apples again, the iPhone 4S. I'm not sure if we brushed on this or not before, but anyway, users of the 4S have filing a class action against Apple.
Why?
In New York, because of the impact iOS 9 had on their devices. In the court filings posted, the class action alleges deceptive trade practices and false advertising by Apple on the compatibility of the new operating system with the older devices. The lawsuit said affected users believed they should have been warned that iOS 9 may or will degrade...
Degrade
overall performance and usability.
I agree with that. That's an Apple trick. Everyone updates their phones, and they know that certain devices won't work with it properly. So you go, oh, don't worry, I'll just get a new phone. It's their way of getting it to upgrade, and it's sneaky and it's wrong.
Look, I don't reckon. Look, I sort of half disagree. I think that I don't care. Apple should be able to do whatever they have to do to make their latest product.
I agree.
Work
Microsoft were doing it for years. Every time they upgrade their operating system, you had to get a new computer.
But I think what would be sticking in my craw here with this thing is that, okay, fair enough. But when you upgrade to iOS 9 on your 4, you go, oh, yeah, it doesn't work. Okay, I'll just go back to 7. You can't.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. And I think that's where...
If you could roll back, it wouldn't be an issue.
That's right. I think that the Apple should just open up the rollbacks, and maybe if this class action gets a bit of steam, that you'll find that hopefully will be what will be the good thing out of it. You'll be able to roll it back.
I reckon it should also give you a choice when you're updating your iOS. Is that give you a choice of, well, do you want to keep that? Do you want maps? Do you want music? Do you want stocks, or do you want to get rid of it? I reckon it should give you a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I suppose, but I just think, look, that could be, you could argue, well, if that was my business, why would I have to spend time and money on more programming to offer all this rubbish?
No, it's just an option, just a menu saying, do you want to, please pick the Apple products you want to keep.
I'd be just more inclined in saying, look, just here's the rollback. You don't like 9, go back to 7. Who cares? Yeah. Go back to 7. Like, I know someone with a 3 or a 3S.
And oh, God.
It's stuck on 7. It won't go any further. I think it's 7. And, yeah, there's a lot of apps that he can't even download. I tried to download Pandora for him. Ba-pow. Try to download Spotify. No.
Has he thought about getting another phone? iPhone 3S is 2008.
Yeah, we only just got it.
Yeah. What?
He's only just got it.
What is the point?
Because
is he spoke for real?
He's not a very he's not into this technology. He just wanted something to phone. He just wants a phone.
Then he shouldn't worry about
it. How did he get it? Where did he get it from?
Off his grandma or something.
Oh. He's got a phone off a
hand-me-down.
Of a senior citizen.
Yeah.
Hand-me-down. A senior citizen had more sense than he does.
Off a septuagenarian. Yeah, got it. Hand-me-down. Yeah, but anyway. Okay. So hopefully, I reckon that Apple should be able to offer that rollback. So
agree. Cookie Monster, are you listening?
That's right. He's got a lot to think about, hasn't he, after this week?
Oh, yeah.
We've given him a lot of tips.
And you watch the... You just keep an eye out for the newspaper. You watch the analysts start quoting, we'd be saying like they did 3 weeks ago.
That's right. You watch that, eh? They all listen. Hi, guys. How he's doing? Okay. That's about it for the end of the first show back in 2016. Don't forget, the Aussie Tech Radio fires up again this week with all new shows. So, look, there was a bit of a lay week over the Christmas holidays. There was no shows produced by any of our podcasts that were on the stream. So we just let the previous ones roll. But it's all changing tomorrow, Friday, the new day. All the new episodes come out. We've got the Aussie Tech Security new episode this week, recorded today, this morning, just before this show. We've got the Aussie Tech ads there. We've got a plethora of other ones as well. So have a look at AussieTechRadio.com. You can tune us up on the Facebook.com/AussieTechEds. Like us there, join us there, comment on the posts, and tell us what you think within certain respectful...
Yeah, be things. Respectful, don't swear. Only I'm allowed to do that.
That's right. And only Eric's allowed to call bogans. And
but I didn't say where they're from.
No. No.
I didn't say bogans come from here.
No.
Because let's face it, they're everywhere.
All right. We should just get off that whole thing. But anyway, so that's all for
the... Good evening, episode. Central Coast.
That's all we've got for this episode. And we'll see you guys next week. Okay. Have fun. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dan.
Bye.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.